Okay, I'm speaking with Bob Russell, who is the Lib Dem MP for Colchester. And I think, Bob, these are quite exciting times ahead for the town. I say town, but I'm sure people listening will be aware that there is this very prestigious bid to give Colchester city status. What benefits does the MP for the town, what benefits will this give to Colchester if granted?
I think it's a status thing, frankly. It will make little difference, if any difference, on a day-to-day basis, at least not in the short term. You've got to bear in mind that we are a European country, and across much of Europe, cities do have a higher status, a higher reputation than just a mere town or, as we have here, a borough. Okay, we are Britain's oldest recorded town, but we were the first millennium city. We were a city in Roman times. I'm advised that we're the only Roman city from that time that is not a city in the 21st century. And it is a status, simple as that. And you only have to ask the people at Ipswich what they think about Norwich. Norwich is a city, Ipswich is not, and that rankles. In Essex, there's not a single city, one of the most populous counties in the United Kingdom, in it, and there's not a single city. And if nothing else, Colchester going for city status will hopefully stop Chelmsford or Southend getting it. But the case for Colchester being a city, I think, is overwhelming, but I repeat, it is more a status thing. And I know that some of the people living in the outside communities that are within the borough of Colchester are not enthused. Well, that's fine, they don't have to be enthused, but I'm not actually enthused that the places outside Colchester in the borough of Colchester, because when I first got elected to Colchester Borough Council in 1971, it was just the town. And the local government reorganisation meant that from the 1st of April 1974, the villages in what was known as Lexton and Wynne Street Rural District Council area merged with the Borough of Colchester, as did Wivenhoe Urban District Council and West Mersey Urban District Council. And frankly, I wouldn't lose any sleep if we had another local government reorganisation and we went back to the historic Borough of Colchester, which, by a happy coincidence, is the boundary of my parliamentary constituency.
But it could be a concern for some people. I think Colchester, but what attracts a lot of people, draws people in, it is a really nice community, and being a town has this sense of community. I hear what you're saying about it's purely a status thing. How would you address those fears that becoming a city, people might think it becomes sterile, it becomes like any other city, and it loses something about local feel that Colchester clearly has got?
Well, somehow I haven't heard that being a problem in Norwich or Cambridge, so I don't go along with that. I think that's quite silly, frankly. Look, there are communities within the town of Colchester and there are communities outside the town of Colchester. You've only got to look in North Colchester, where you have the community of Mile End, where I grew up, which is completely different to the community of Shrub End in South Colchester. Or, if you like, look at the community of the St Anne's Estate, off Harry's Road, and then not a million miles away on the other side of the Harry's Road, the Grinstead Estate. And they are two distinct communities, and we should have pride in those communities. The people of Grinstead should be proud to be Grinstead, St Anne's, Marlin, or indeed the area of town that I was a councillor for 31 years, Newtown, which has its own distinct character. And within Newtown, there are sort of, if you like, sub-communities where the people who live in Southtown are a different community to those of the new community of the Hythe, or the Victorian splendour of the original Newtown estate centred around Newtown Road, Winnet Road, Kendall Road. So I think you have pride in your local community, and somewhere like Wivenhoe, for example, has immense pride in that community, and it's distinctive from the town of Colchester, very much so.
But if city status is granted, and we should find out, I think it's just before the Jubilee, a lot of that also has to do with tourism, which is a very, very beneficial thing, is to be celebrated, and so it'll also bring tourism and industry into the town. Do you think we've got the right infrastructure to support this new influx of people coming into the town?
No, we don't have the right infrastructure, but I think the city status bid is an irrelevance, if you like. And to that, Colchester is the fourth fastest growing town in England, according to the Colchester Evening Gazette, Colchester Daily Gazette now, so it must be right. It's certainly a very fast growing town. To my mind, it's growing much, much too fast. I'm doing my best to try and prevent the development on the fields of West Mile End. I had some success with others in 1974, all those years ago, in preventing development on right across from Turner Rise, Ipswich Road, and those fields were saved, and they're now the southern slopes of the Highwoods Country Park. No, the infrastructure in Colchester is awful, if we're talking about transport infrastructure. And in the last Parliament, I did try, without success, to promote the concept of small tram systems. And I believe that the Victorians could teach the 21st century transport engineers a few things. And you've only got to look at some of the Western European countries where trams are a feature. We only had trams in Colchester for 25 years, 1904 to 1929. And I put forward proposals for two single track tram routes. One of them started under the podium at the university, cut across country, joined up with a branch line, then came in at St Botolph's, Colchester town, and possibly could have gone on as far as where the Gala Bingo is. My second route started in the area of the community stadium in the north of the town, came down the northern approach, went into the hospital, then down to North Station, cut through what was then the Anglia Trading Estate. Now it's now housing, so you wouldn't be able to do it. The route's gone. Leisure World, and then up through the edge of the Castle Park to bring people into what was then the bus station, and that way you've had a transport interchange there, but we've now got something else where the bus station was. So I still think that we need a visionary government. We didn't get it from Labour, we're not getting it from the coalition government, a visionary government that looks at public transport through the eyes of the Victorians, who created transport systems vastly superior to what we have today.
And is that frustration? Do you feel that as the MP for Colchester, I mean, how much more higher can you go? Are there limitations as to what you could achieve? Because what you're saying, Mr Russell, about the whole trans system, locally on the ground, it does seem to make sense. But somebody in Whitehall who just doesn't know how Colchester operates, they might be quite dismissive. What can you do personally?
Well, my role is to work, hopefully, with local authorities, Colchester Borough, Essex County Council, although that's easier said than done, to try and raise the profile of Colchester in national government. In this Parliament, I've managed to have so far two cabinet ministers have come to Colchester, and I'm working on a third one. I've had other ministers come here. And my role is to try and raise the profile of my town, my constituency. I think that Colchester, the name of Colchester, is known in Parliament. But I can't do it on my own. And the problem is we have government policies from the last government and now the coalition government, which to my mind are making it difficult for Colchester to evolve. What we're having, it's being revolutionary, if you like, by saying you're going to have all these extra houses whether you like it or not. And I think that's wrong, frankly. We need our green open spaces. The Highwoods Country Park is something I'm very proud of, which I helped to bring about. Cimbrin Meadows Country Park is something which I'm equally proud to say I am largely responsible for, because I was leader of the council when Colchester Borough Council bought those fields. We have in at the Gosbecks Archaeological Park something which I hope in due course will become a major tourist attraction. And frankly, the amount of money that's been chucked at the VAF, Visual Arts Facility, would have been far better spent, in my mind, in promoting what is unique to Colchester, and that's our Roman heritage. The VAF, I don't see as being an international tourist attraction.
OK, perhaps we can get on to the VAF slightly later on, but just a final question on this whole infrastructure transport point. So people do like living here, people do move into the area, such as myself, and then occasionally commute out into London, or perhaps work 9 to 5 in London, commute in. What went wrong with National Express? Because that was quite a hellish experience for commuters. And as the MP, what expectations or what demands have you got from the new train operator, please?
Before I move on to that, let me just finish on the road infrastructure. Colchester's traffic problems are not unique. If you go to Cambridge, you go to Norwich, you go to just about any busy town and city in the country, there are traffic problems. So let us not get this out of kilter. And the BBC Essex this morning had a lovely live interview with Anne Turrell, who's the Lib Dem leader of Colchester Borough Council, on the forthcoming park and ride site. near the community stadium in North Colchester, straight off the A12, which a lot of hopes are being put on. Well, the rail franchise for the East of England, the East Anglian franchise, currently with National Express, they lose it in due course. And the three bidders, I've met representatives to the bidders, I have a meeting with the third bidder lined up. But I have to tell you, I think the whole privatisation, the rail industry, with the fragmentation, it was a total nonsense. I come back to the Victorians. Yes, they had separate railway companies, but each railway company, if you like, did the whole lot. What we have here, we have fragmentation, we have Network Rail, we have different rail operating companies and so on. And the great beauty of bringing all the railway companies together after the Second World War was that you had a national railway network. Was it brilliant? No, it wasn't. Did it need sorting out? Yes, of course it did. Did it need privatising? No. And that's where it all went wrong, and it continues to go wrong. And those people who are regular readers of Private Eye, as I am, will on a regular basis, almost issue by issue, will read of the shortcomings of the fractured rail industry we have in this country.
So can anyone coming in correct the mistakes made by National Express, or are they doomed to repeat the same exercise?
Well, I think there's a danger that many of them will be repeated, quite frankly, because at the end of the day, whoever gets the franchise, like National Express and those before them, their prime objective is to make a profit for the shareholders. Now, my view is that there are certain parts of civilised society which should be not-for-profit. And I think the railway industry is one of them. I think our hospitals should be not-for-profit. I think our education system should be not-for-profit. And there's a few more like that. I think you need the framework, the skeleton, if you like, of public ownership, not-for-profit, around which the private sector then works very hard and very successfully. There's room for both. That's the point I'm trying to make. You need good public services in order that the private sector can flourish. And another group which fits in that is the mutuals, the cooperatives, call it what you like. And you can have private enterprise ethos, as we have with John Lewis and Waitrose, along with the strict market disciplines of private enterprise. I'm not anti-private enterprise. I'm not anti-public enterprise. What I'm saying is that the mixed basket of the economy benefits both. And just as an aside, I'd even bring it down to the success we used to have with old people's homes, when there were three categories. You had those run by the county council, you had those run by private companies, and those you had run by not-for-profit organisations like Balkan Gardens in Colchester. And when you had these three, they were each competing for quality, is the best way to put it. They weren't competing to make a profit. Of course, the private sector wants to make a profit, but they could only benefit to make a profit by proving that the quality of services they made were as good as those provided by the local authorities, as good as those made by the local authority. Everybody benefited. Now the public sector is no longer there through the county council homes being privatised. The private sector, I'm sorry to say, is now geared up more for profit incentive than quality of care. So that's the issue. Coming back to whoever's going to get the National Express franchise for the East Anglia, I've delivered a shopping list to the two bidders that I've met so far, and that identical shopping list will go to the third bidder. The bottom line is we have no reduction in the service from Colchester. That's the bottom line. The reason I say that, there's a body in Norwich trying to get a campaign called Norwich London in 90, which means they want to get from Norwich to London in 90 minutes. Well, that's a nice campaign for them. But that would be at the expense, I would argue, of the rail service from Colchester, because that means that some trains, intercity trains, as I still call them, would not stop in Colchester, either going to London or going to Norwich. And therefore, what would be an improvement for the good folk of Norfolk may be, or would be, to the detriment, in my opinion, to the good people of Colchester and North Essex. So we need to make sure that what others are asking for is not to our detriment. So I want to see the bare minimum, no reduction what we've got. We then build on that. I want to see more trains. I want to see more capacity. That may be adding two more carriages to get the additional capacity. It may be nothing greater than that. I don't know. But you've still got the problem of the bottleneck into Liverpool Street and the fact that after Shenfield coming this way, there's only two lines and you need at least one, preferably two more lines. You need crossing places, two or three crossing, not crossing places. You need rail laybys of the bottom into which freight trains can be put to enable the fast passenger trains to go through and then get back. At the moment, you have the conflict, and I want more freight to go by rail. But that can only happen if we can get passing bays, that's the phrase, passing bays are on the railways. Two or three between here and Stratford would do it. So there's things like that. I want to see improvements, of course, to the mainline stage. That is happening at the moment. I've suggested to the two bidders, and this, I think, may be a benefit to people even further down from the Hyde. I want Colchester Hyde Station to be marketed as Colchester's second London station to try and get people who are currently clogging up Colchester Mainline North Station to, in fact, go to their journeys starting at the Hyde. My clerical assistant, my caseworker, three or four times a year, will come up to the House of Commons to do work there. She lives near Hythe Station. It's actually better and easier for her to get on the train at the Hythe than to fight her way into North Station and then go. So I want that to be built up. And I want to see out of Colchester Town, St. Botolph's, in the summer months, I want to see summer trains to Clacton and Walton, as they used to do. And lastly, and I'm currently in touch with people at Sudbury over this, is that the Sudbury to Marxtay branch. I'm told that track congestion means that what I'm proposing could not happen Monday to Friday, but it could happen on Saturday, and that is the Sudbury to Marxtay train continues through to Colchester Town St. Botolph's. So you'd link the centre of Colchester, the centre of Sudbury, with the Sudbury branch train. I'd love to do it more frequently, Monday to Friday, but I'm advised by those who know these things, it can only happen on a Saturday when there's less pressure. Lastly, I forgot this one. Lastly, I want to see a new rail connection service starting at Colchester, which goes to Cambridge via Ipswich. You can get to Cambridge from Colchester via train, via Ipswich, if you change trains at Ipswich, or you go into London, Liverpool Street, cross London, go out. My view is that if Cambridge is increasingly becoming a centre for the east of England, which geographically it is for a whole variety of reasons, and we want to get people onto trains out of their cars, let's have a dedicated Colchester-Cambridge route via Ipswich.
Phew, so that is the train sorted.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Buses, a final thing. So, are you in favour of the bus station in Colchester staying in the old bus station area or off to Osborne Street?
Well, I had a briefing meeting only last week with the Chief Executive of Colchester Borough Council where I've seen the proposals for Osborne Street, and they're good. I have to say, what's proposed for Osborne Street is good. However, I'm adamant they are in addition to, not instead of. My view is that we should, as a growing town, have both. Now, look, I've been to Chester, I've been to York, I've been to other places, and they welcome tourist coaches. In Colchester, the tourist coaches will be directed to Cowdray Crescent, which is the small crescent in front of the castle. I have to point out that Cowdray Crescent is a war memorial. We don't just mean the statue commemorating the war dead of two great wars and subsequent battles. The whole area, the railings, the gate, the paving, the grass, the roadway, they are all a war memorial. And it's one thing to have the open-top tourist bus stopping there. I have no problems with that. But that crescent is not a tourist coach drop-off point. There's no facilities there worth talking about. There are toilets, yes, but there's nothing else. There's nowhere to stop over. And these buses are then sent off somewhere else, churning out diesel fumes or whatever. we need a dedicated area where tourist buses could go. And if the visual arts facility, the VAF, is to be the tourist attraction its promoters say it's going to be, then what better place than slap bang at its front door is there to have the tourist coaches to come to? That would mean that space could be freed up, so it's not every service bus in Colchester would have to go to the current temporary bus station. So you would have the two locations, and I think in that way, I also point out we need a place for express coaches, because not everybody travels around the country by train. We also have Colchester's on the express coach route. My officers used to overlook the bus station when I used to be at Corporate House from 1997 to 2001, and I know how many buses came in. You need a stopover point. I also observed that we used to have tourists from Holland and Northern Europe would arrive in Harwich, and buses would bring them and deposit them in Colchester Town Centre. They no longer come to Colchester. I believe they are now taken to Ipswich because they were made unwelcome. The buses were made unwelcome. And the notion that a bus station is purely for local buses shows that the people who say that are ignorant, and I use the word ignorant, of what a bus station is. It's not just the town bus routes. It's the rural routes that come into Colchester. It's the express coaches, and it is also the tourist coaches. And if we want to promote tourism in Colchester, what better than have a designated tourist coach spot slap bang outside the VAF where people... I think that would be far better for Colchester's tourism, for Colchester's economy, than having some more flower beds and what have you put there. And I repeat, the proposal that coaches, tourist coaches, should go to the Cowdrey Crescent, that is a betrayal of what is a war memorial.